Stories move hearts, and hearts move impact. Slingshot Stories. 10 to 15 minute episodes built around what we believe to be really practical key areas of impact that are going to help you grow in your understanding of what impact is and how you can accomplish it. Everybody's on planet Earth for a reason. Find your sweet spot, get off the bench, and get in the game. Welcome to the next episode of Slingshot Stories. I'm your host, Ed Gallantine, and I'm here with my good friend and colleague, Jared Barnett, the CEO of Slingshot Memphis. This is part two of effective technical training. The first episode was a couple of weeks ago, episode number 46. I would encourage you to go back and listen to it. This particular episode is where we're going to focus on putting the story into Slingshot Story. So we're not going to talk about the why as much. We just want to hear about the how. So with that sort of short caveat behind us, Jared, why don't you introduce our special guest?
Great. I'm really excited to have Karen Treese join us. She's the Chief Administrative Officer at MoreTech College. Slingshot has had the opportunity to work alongside MoreTech for several years now, and they are an organization here in Memphis that are implementing several effective practices for technical training. And excited to have Karen share some of those and talk a bit more about that. But first, I want to give her an opportunity just to introduce MoreTech and its unique history.
Thanks, Jared and Ed. So MoreTech was founded back in the early 1900s. William R. Moore established the school to train Mid-South workers for Mid-South jobs. Our first graduating class was in 1939.
Awesome. And MoreTech's been kind of a staple here in the community. And as Slingshot's looked at what helps alleviate poverty, one of the things that always goes back to is obviously employment, and in particular, the accessibility of technical training opportunities and the careers that that then enables. And so in our last session, we talked about three practices, which I'll just do a quick recap here, because MoreTech is exhibiting each of those. The first is designing programming with local employers. Second is incorporating an apprenticeship model. And third is including a paid internship as all part of that program. So all of those have disproportionate benefits for the participants in these programs relative to other forms of technical training programs. And so the automotive track in particular, Karen, is something that we saw all three of these practices employed. And we'd love to hear about how that came about.
Yeah, so the Greater Memphis Auto Dealers Association, which was actually founded back in the early 1900s as well, approached MoreTech a few years ago. And pretty much said, like, we have a very large need for maintenance technicians, and we would like MoreTech to be the training provider for that. So it was a true partnership in the sense that the Auto Dealers Association actually purchased the building and pays for the building that the program is housed in, and MoreTech teaches the auto service technician program. Is a two-year program, and starting in the third trimester of six trimesters of the program, the students actually begin a paid apprenticeship at an auto dealer's where they are applying what they're learning in the classroom.
So Karen, as you guys were setting this up, what were some of the things that you learned from this around how to collaborate with the employers and how to do this effectively in a way that you could replicate that?
I think that the big key to this was, one, the industry approached us. So we knew that they were going to support the program. We knew they wanted to financially support the program. We're a nonprofit, so that is always, you know, a challenge to find the funding to start something like this. So as soon as that was established, then the path forward was fairly easy, in the sense of putting a curriculum together, making sure that it was, ASC accredited. That was all driven by, the auto dealers. And then for MoreTech, we were just doing what we always do, which is train the students, help them get connected with jobs, and train them for the positions that are out there.
So this is a personal passion of mine. I love how you said, do what MoreTech does, right? I think when we let organizations do what they're best at, that produces the best results. It happens in business. I think it happens in the nonprofit space. And as we're trying to think about ways we can alleviate poverty, if we're doing it in a way where organizations and people are really doing what their talents are. And Ed, you talk about this with some of how you advise some of your clients right around how they use their talents. I just think it's really powerful when we want to see the outcomes, right, which is ultimately people not in poverty anymore.
Well, and I think, too, along those lines, one of the hard things is when donors come to give money, sometimes they can pressure organizations into maybe getting a little bit off or a lot off of what they're really good at doing. One of the things I wanted to ask about was the faces and the humans that you've seen come through that program over the years. Are you able to share just a couple of stories of how that's changed their lives? I mean, we're talking a culture that says 4-year college, go off and run a Fortune 500 company. That's why we all exist. Make a lot of money, right?
Right.
But that, in my opinion, is absolutely not good for a large proportion of human beings.
Well, one of the things I think I have a history with MoreTech that started out with career placement. So my passion is to see the students come through the school. Some of them, their eyes light up. You know that that's what they want to do. So that's always rewarding. And you know that like they're ready to jump into the program. So for me, that's exciting. As far as seeing how this changes folks' lives, I mean, the automotive program is an Earn While You Learn program. Of course, it makes an impact immediately. The students and families of the students many times need that income. So I think once the students get into the program, everybody is supportive of it because they see how it's a benefiting maybe their husband or their son or their daughter, but it also helps the family out. But in our other programs as well, like the students are, we have 100% placement in auto and basically 100% placement in all our other programs as well. And that's for students that, you know, request placement.
I'd love to hear a little bit more about what that does for someone, right? So they join the automotive track in particular, they go through this, and that, you know, they get placed at the end. What is that like for them, and how might that transform them in terms of economically?
Well, I think that the since the career placement is basically designed right into the program, it's really encouraging for them. They know what they're working toward immediately. It's not just something theoretical. They come in, they take classes within their third trimester. They're out working, probably making $17 to $20 an hour, applying what they're learning, and they continue with that apprenticeship until their last trimester, which is full-time, on-the-job training. So they are basically placed immediately after five trimesters. And these positions, they can be upwards of $100,000. The students, we do not come out with student loans. All these positions come with benefits, paid vacations, health insurance. So they're great career paths.
It's incredible. I mean, again, if we're thinking about pathways out of poverty, that's a powerful pathway as you go from wherever you might start with, as you think about some of the more available jobs in food services or retail and think about the earning potential of that versus something we just talked about with automotive. That's transformative.
Give us an example of a couple of other tracks that you guys have outside of automotive, because a lot of people hear tech and they think Silicon Valley. I personally think Ethiopia, where an advancement in technology where we work is going from a wooden doma, like a wooden pickaxe, to a metal pickaxe, right? Technology is different. So talk about some other tracks that you guys are doing.
Well, I think for some of us, maybe we just need to think of it more like the trade school that we are. I know technology is used, but MoreTech is a trade school. And one of the tracks, we currently call it industrial electricity plant maintenance, but it is that can be translated to mechatronics or a maintenance mechanic. Every manufacturing facility in this city needs multiple maintenance mechanics. It is an incredibly lucrative position to be in. Our students are coming out entry level. We're talking 2 years of school, probably starting at $25 an hour.
Wow.
And that comes with all the benefits, everything we talked about before. That program in particular, kind of close to my heart, because here's an example. When I first started doing career placement, this company came to me and said, we want to talk to your students and we need maintenance mechanics. and we need them to have 5 years experience. And I said, well, I'm sorry, you're at a school. Like, we don't have anybody that has 5 years experience. But that at the time was kind of the gold standard of what they expected. So a few years later, this company came back to me and said, okay, we have to talk. Let's figure this out. And so what they did, and it's a huge company, they decided to offer student hours, meaning our students go to school during the day, which they highly support. They don't want our students to drop out of school. But they allow them to work from 4 till 10 at night. They pay them $20 an hour. So they're getting experience, but they want to make sure they're out in time to come back to school and finish up their education and then go back to work. So it's a win-win situation for everybody, and especially the student, because they're getting paid, they're getting educated, and they're getting experience at the same time.
So I just want to jump in and kind of celebrate what we've seen with MoreTech. As we think about what effective practices are and trying to understand what is effective at alleviating poverty, there's a lot of unknowns out there, and there's not a great way to really understand that, and like we can with, you know, the financial performance of a company, where we have so many financial statements and things to help us do that. And what I'm excited about is that Slingshot studied this, and we've seen now kind of what the research shows, we've seen what the analysis shows. We have an organization here in Memphis that is exhibiting and implementing a lot of these practices. And so as we think about, you know, trying to support people in these pathways out of poverty, as we think about technical training as one of those pathways, we have an organization here that exemplifies many of those practices. And as we think about how do we support others in the community, we think about, well, we have one organization that's already doing it. As we look at other organizations, are they also employing these practices, right? As we think about what's really going to have the most impact for people who are experiencing poverty. As we think about kind of how we continue to do more in Memphis with technical training and do it more effectively, what do you advise kind of going forward we want to make sure that is we embrace here as a community?
I think one of the most important things is for industry to partner with educators and vice versa. I think that if we work together to better the community, what that means is taking our students right out of high school, connecting them in positions that are very lucrative, great jobs, great career paths, and extending that from post-secondary school right into industry. And it's a win-win for everybody at that stage of the game. And those, we're talking positions that are changing their communities, and it's going to change Memphis.
I love how you sort of wrap that up. It's a multifaceted, balanced approach, right? Private, public, profit, nonprofit. I love that you guys are doing it so well. I mean, Jared mentioned 100%, you know, placement rate. That kind of stuff is really crazy. How you guys are doing it, especially when you have an organization like Slingshot that can come in and do that can quantify what you guys are doing. I think that's a really powerful approach, and it is a pathway out of poverty. We talk about that all the time. You don't get out of poverty overnight. And as Karen, you and I talked about before we started recording, sometimes it takes multiple generations. But what a fantastic way to help people on a pathway out of poverty. So we got to land the plane. Karen, thanks for coming. Love what you guys are doing. Jared, thanks for joining us. Until next time, all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We love your feedback, so please let us know what you thought about this episode, as well as what you'd like to hear more of in the future. For more information, impact resources, or to purchase a copy of the book, Journey to Impact, visit edgillentine.com. That's edgillentine.com. The book is also available through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Target.com. For Ed Gillentine speaking inquiries or advertising opportunities, send us an email at ajourneytoimpact@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the Journey to Impact podcast team. Executive producer Ed Gillentine. Produced and edited by Joey Woodruff. Special thanks to Stephen Chandler.